Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
This hour of the Greg Hill Show brought to you by Window World of Boston. Visit windowworldofboston.com today.
It's the Greg Hill Morning Show with your host, Greg Hill. Streaming live from WEEI.com and the Radio.com app. And now, it's time for the Greg Hill Morning Show on Sports Radio WEEI.
I lose a little bit of respect for him because I do think Aaron Hernandez will be part of the narrative. I do think when you don't need Antonio Brown and you still get greedy and go out there and get him and attach him to the strongest brand in football, man, these guys, they won, but boy, they did it any way possible. There was no ethics under guiding all of their decision making, and it does make me lose some respect
for here.
Winky Jason Whitlock says that Bill Belichick is greedy and unethical. Would you buy that?
No.
He,
come on. What? He signed a player that he felt like could help his team, and the player was a free agent. And as far as we all know, there might have been something that every team has known about Antonio Brown, at least the Oakland Raiders, because there's reports out there that there's been this back and forth with Brittany Taylor's lawyers about, doing something. So he signs a guy that can help his team to now say, you are now holding the Patriots to the – where was this when you signed Josh Gordon? Why didn't he say that then?
This is Jimmy from Boston. What's up, Jimmy?
Hey, how you doing? Can you hear me?
Yeah, we got you. What's up?
Not much. I just wanted to speak about the Antonio Brown situation just from a legal perspective. I'm in law school right now.
Yeah.
By the way, what's up, Wiggy? You're one of my favorite players.
What's up?
But so I just wanted to talk about just the difference between like a civil trial and a criminal trial and just what's the 51%.
Yes.
It's just an interesting tactic that they wouldn't file criminal charges first, because if you lose at the civil trial, there's no way that there's going to be a criminal trial, because if you can't prove it by less of a preponderance of evidence or less evidence, then they're not going to bring it to a criminal trial where you have to prove it by a reasonable doubt.
Yeah.
But also, he's going to have to be deposed. He can take the Fifth, but most likely it's not going to look good if you're sitting there asking questions and a person just isn't going to answer it. So it's just an interesting tactic that they're using. I don't understand why they wouldn't go to a criminal route first.
Well, yeah. I mean, unless they felt like they didn't have the evidence to be able to get a criminal conviction, and then they decided to go this route. I mean, I think that when somebody is deposed, like, mm-hmm. think about Bill Clinton's deposition. Mm-hmm. I mean, an awful lot of that was about embarrassing Bill Clinton, correct? That's why they That's why they wanted to get him deposed, so they could get that deposition out there, the videotape of it.
Right. But you can do both, though. I mean, that's the thing. You can
do.
I mean, look, we've all seen it with the OJ case, right?
Right.
You can do both. If you have enough evidence in your mind, or if you feel like something happened, the first thing you would do, you would think, like I said, I'm only speculating here, was maybe file a police report, right? And go, okay, well, here's the incident. This is what happened. I'd like for it to be on record, because then even if you do file a civil suit, at least you have that information on record.
But there are probably women, Danielle may be able to say this, who say when it comes to someone who is a victim of something like this, mm-hmm. there's no way for us to say what normal behavior is.
No, you can't, because everyone's experience is different. Some people handle it better. Some people are in denial about it for a long time. Some people would not have a problem facing their accuser. Most women that I know that have been sexually assaulted don't ever want to see that person mm-hmm. again, and can't even think of they're like, no, you know what? Yeah, I know I should go to the police, and I know I should bring this person to justice and possibly save other people from this. But the event itself was so traumatic mm-hmm. that they're absolutely just terrified.
But if they file a civil suit, doesn't that now open up and bring back all these memories? Because whether you're doing a criminal case or a civil case, you have to now get in front of a judge or a jury. Yeah. You have to talk about it. So all this stuff is going to come out anyways,
regardless,
right?
Yeah. But we know it's the preponderance of evidence thing. Like they said, there's a lesser burden of proof. So maybe they feel, and I'm speculating here. Yeah. Maybe they feel like they wouldn't be grilled as harshly by, you know, a defense attorney or something like that. Or maybe they would hope that they would just get a judge for the civil trial versus having a jury and not have as many people to go in front of. Maybe it wouldn't be as traumatic. I don't know. Again, everybody's different. Everyone's intentions are different. Everyone's goal is different. That's why it's very easy for us outside the situation to pick it apart and say, okay, well, maybe this was why Brittany wanted to do this. Well, or maybe she's going after a bag of cash.
The thing is, nobody knows except for them what really happened.
Right.
And you can look at it both ways with regard. I mean, do you think this woman, Wiggy, I feel like you think that this is, as AB's agent described it, a cash grab.
I think
that's
yes.
what you think,
I think
right?
so, because but when you start to look at the evidence that we have, all we can go on is based on the information and the evidence that we have right in front of us,
okay.
right? To make come up with our opinion of what we think potentially could have happened.
So you think that they had a thing going on. She wanted $1.6 million for her business. He wouldn't do that. He thought it was too much money, whatever it was. And so then she got upset and decided, I'm going to get my money one way or the other.
Well,
now, but do you think, does it change your mind that this woman is getting married this weekend and now has to deal with all of this in the week before her wedding? Why would she want to do that?
Well, see, I've been really big on the timeline. And I was big on the timeline when I was on with Dale and Keith on Wednesday. And that was my biggest thing. And Dale wasn't as big on the timeline because my thing was this, right? Okay. And I know that, you know, a victim of sexual assault might take more time. It might be whatever it might be, right? It just, you know, that's going through their mind.
Correct.
Might not be the day after or 3 months or 6 months. It could be years after, right? So I start to look at the timeline and start to figure out some of these things that we know about and that were alleged. And Antonio Brown's statement from his lawyers that the alleged rape happened in May of 2018, but she was in contact with him to try to get Pittsburgh Steelers tickets the winter of 2018. And then there's the money thing. So you start to look at some of these things and you go, wait a second. And then Danielle brought up a good point I was listening to, that, you know, women talk about how scared they are in this. And she went back to his house the next day
alone
by herself.
That's weird to me. That's very weird to me. If a guy rapes me or sexually assaults me, I'm not going back to his house the next day alone to get my stuff. It's just not going to happen.
Right.
That's you.
No. But if you,
I think you can say that
right.
with pretty safe certainty. It's pretty much certainty that
right.
would be most women.
And when you look at the alleged allegation of how the rape took place,
the alleged allegation.
Yeah. Well,
the alleged.
Yes. Okay.
ATM machine.
Yes.
Right. When you look at it, right.
Yeah.
When you look at how it took place and how he allegedly physically was holding her down, she was yelling, no, stop. So it wasn't like one of those things where it could have been like, you know, where maybe she's had a little bit to drink. And, you know, it seemed like it was a moment in time where he was being physical with her and she was scared for her life and she was yelling and screaming. And then to go back there the next day by herself is like, you know, a red flag you would think about.
It puts a question in your mind about the motivation, right?
There are a million things you can do with these stories, Greg, but in Boston right now, we are spending days, hours upon hours, trying to poke every hole possible in Brittany Taylor's accusations against Antonio Brown for the sole reason that the people here want to watch him catch touchdown passes.
Yeah, but didn't
it's
you do,
pathetic.
But didn't you do the same thing when Adam Jones came out and said he was called the N-word at Fenway Park? Didn't you and the people that were on the show try as many different ways to go, wait a second here. We're not going to hold on. We got to find
what the hell are you pivoting to? I was not the host of that show.
No. But you were somebody that said, we're not just going to believe Adam Jones. He throws this allegation out here of being called the animal. Let's kind of find out where the information. And then there was really no evidence to prove it. And Curtis was one of them. He had his torch in his.
He did?
Oh, yeah.
He had his great torch. Analogy in that
yes.
situation.
He was at the front of the line.
Alleged allegation.
He was at the front of the line. Like, wait a second. Mm-hmm. We need more information, Adam Jones.
Well, the
now
parallel
all of a sudden,
is,
it's like crucify Antonio Brown.
The parallel is you want more information. We're going to get more next week when NFL investigates.
investigators meet with her, right, or potentially. Why, so why not wait a week?
And so that's why you don't want him on the field.
Yes, 1 week. We're talking about one week.
I just want to be clear about this, that it is Ken who is, and Curtis, you agree, right? Do you agree that he should not be on the field?
If I were Bob Kraft, I would not have him on the field on Sunday. Because you need to have all the information possible, and we don't have all the information yet. And if there's more that comes out, it's very damaging for the Patriots the second he steps on the field in a Patriots uniform.
I heard Lou say this yesterday afternoon. Lou was saying the same exact thing. I think it's crazy. Like, somebody could say
anything.
What if somebody says something about Tom Brady next week?
But this is not someone coming up and tweeting, like, Tom Brady touched me in line at a Sweetgreen at Market Street in Linfield. This is a lengthy case that's been filed in a federal court.
And people have known each other for years.
But what if somebody did that? What if there was a person that maybe, you know, Rob Gronkowski, well, he's not playing, but say somebody had been working with Tom Brady or whatever it might have been and said, hey, he did this inappropriate.
Well, Edelman's been through this.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Early in his career, he went through this.
That wasn't it at a nightclub
or
something?
It was that story.
Right. So are we supposed to say, okay, there are these allegations out there. We don't know whether or not they're true, but here's what we have to do. We have to now sit you and you can't play. Until we get the information. No, why don't we let him play? Let him do what he's supposed to do. Let him make a living at doing what he does well. And then once we get all the information, then we can make the decision.
This is your pal, Scott from Weymouth. I hope he's still awake. Scott.
Yeah, no snoring today. Greg, right. I am pulling hair out of my head. What's left of it?
Yeah.
Oh, my God. In and out in 40 seconds. Yeah. I'm going to rip this apart. Are you ready?
Yes.
All right. Curtis, have you ever heard of the Constitution?
No.
I'm with Wiggy on this 1,000%. A man is innocent until proven guilty. The burden is on the prosecution to prove guilt, not on the accused to prove innocence. Okay? Now, this is 2 years. Now, I've never been raped. Thank God for that. But if I were, I'd be at the Weymouth police station immediately after. This is clearly, she's a money, I won't swear, Greg, the word starts with WH. She's a money, boom. Yeah. This is a joke. Of course he should be able to play. Now, here's my prediction, Greg, I'm closing. This is what's going to happen. I do love politics and the law, hence seven. This is what's going to happen, mark my words. He's going to countersue her for slander. And both of their lawyers are going to get together and both agree to drop all charges.
You think so?
Yeah.
100%.
You think so?
I agree with that.
You think?
Because there's already reports out there that he's going to countersue her. And then the other thing, which is very interesting, was his IG Live that he put out at TB12.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
And there was something that stood out in that. And I know you said we have it to kind of play a little bit of it. But if you listen to it, there's something that stands out. In that, so
what you want to listen to a little bit. So Antonio Brown had been off social media since he got here. I don't know if he was told to stay off it or not, or he decided on his own that he was going to stay off.
He blocked Danielle Trotta.
He went to TB12 yesterday and went Instagram Live, and here's the way that sounded.
So y'all, you heard, God is great. Determination. Perseverance, commitment, we got this, focus, it's called finish, that's the squad.
It's called Welcome to Legends Avenue, it's called TB12, let's get it. Hey Alex, it's just like 17,000 people.
I love 17,000 people.
Somebody got to do this work, call God. In the time of crisis, all I ask is love. Dedication and focus. Stay focused. The devil gonna try to bring you down when you get closer to your goals. The key is, don't let him. Now I was thinking about it. All the basketball players in the world, all the soccer players in the world, they get love and embrace. Maybe we need a football USA team so the world could love us. Because all we get is hate. Call God. I'm gone.
So,
right. And there was a little bit before where he's like, you know, call and people trying to bring us down. And
the devil.
Right. So it'd be very bold of him to go on Instagram Live knowing that he might have done anything that she's accusing him of doing and then go out there and say some of these things. So it sounds like he's really professing his innocence and he's not afraid to go on Instagram Live and continue to say, you know, they're trying to take me down. The closer I get to my goal, the devil is
trying to bring me down.
Yes, the devil's trying to get me.
Yes.
And the devil, and in this case, is in his mind, is Brittany Taylor.
He didn't really address any of the alleged allegations, though. You know what I mean?
Well, he's the victim, obviously. The devil's after him.
Yeah, listen to Wiggy.
Friday the 13th.
Well, the devil's going to try to bring you down when you get closer to your goals.
Yeah?
Right.
So he's getting close in his...
You know? Mind.
And you're saying he
crabs in a bucket.
And you're saying that he wouldn't do that...
No, if he knew that there was a chance that there was some truth to what she's accusing him of doing.
This is Nick from Framingham. What's up, Nick?
Hey, Greg. How's it going?
How you doing?
Good. I just got a couple things I just want to throw out there. First of all, I don't think that they should, just for the Patriots organization's sake, they should play him on Sunday. I think they should wait till next week and see what happens and
really?
Go from there.
What's...
Yeah, I just think that they should just kind of put it on pause, wait. He's already there. Let him practice. Let him do everything else. But maybe even dress him, but just don't put him on the just don't play him.
Now, would you feel the same way if something with Tom Brady came up?
I would, yes.
Okay. Pause.
As long as you're being honest.
Mm-hmm. I just got a couple of things. I work in the field. I work with a lot of people that I advocate for and try and help. As far as civil liability versus criminal liability goes, is for a woman to kind of come forward in a civil suit, like in this case, would be, there's a lot less, like's been said, there's a lot less burden of proof in a civil case, that person is not going to be ridiculed and pressed on a stand like they would be in a criminal case.
They're also under oath,
right?
In a criminal case,
right? Exactly.
Yeah.
True. There's many, many differences. So just a couple. As far as like, do I think he did it or not? I don't know. I wasn't there, so I choose not to weigh in on that. I will throw out a couple statistics that say that the FBI did a study in, I think it was 2012, that had the cases of, as far as allegations for sexual assault that were brought forth in a criminal matter, the cases of actual allegations that were found to be true versus were found to be false.
Yes.
The false accusations probably accounted for about 9 or 10% of those cases that were brought to the courts.
Nick, that's important, but I also would like to know the percentage of accusations that were brought against rich celebrities that were false.
I mean, think about how many have been brought against Donald Trump.
Right.
Mm-hmm. I mean, was it like 18 women?
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yes.
That's an interesting variable, and I'm not aware of the study that took into account that variable. I'm not sure. Another thing is, as for in the criminal matters in general, for every 1,000 cases, for every 1,000 sexual assaults that happen, it's something about, it's like 239 of them wind up actually being reported, and about half of that wind up being prosecuted.
Yeah.
And about 4.6 perpetrators actually end up serving time. Huh. So that is 0.4% of all sexual assault perpetrators actually end up serving time in jail.
So you're saying that could be a reason why she didn't go to the authorities.
I'm 100% confused.
But she does put out a statement. She says, "I want to speak out. I want to be able to get it out there. I want my voice to be heard. I'm tired of being ashamed." Right? Wouldn't you think? And I'm just basing it off of just being an outsider looking in. But I would think that
you're basing it off being a Patriots honk.
No.
Absolutely.
No, in any sexual case, right? I would think the first thing, and I have a 22-year-old daughter, the first thing that I would want if something like this happened would be to make sure that guy never had another opportunity to do it against some other, you know, woman or yes. or some other victim or, yes. or of that. That would be my concern.
Why does, why does you having a daughter have anything to do with this?
Well, because I have, if I have a daughter, now I can maybe relate to if something were to happen to her where she was sexually assaulted.
So people without a daughter wouldn't know how bad rape is?
No, I didn't say that. But by having a daughter puts me a little bit closer to the situation because I could put my daughter in this situation and how I would feel. If I didn't have a daughter, maybe I couldn't put myself in that situation because I wouldn't
but
have a child.
But you're saying you would want your daughter to go to the police.
Right, because I would not
want the guy off the streets.
I would not, yes, I would. I want him off the streets and so he couldn't do it again to somebody else.
Yeah, this is Brian from Waltham, who I think agrees with Ken and Curtis on Sunday. Brian?
Hey, so I just, you know, I look at this as kind of a game point standpoint. You know, he came in on Sunday. He's only been here a week. He doesn't know the playbooks back and front yet. He doesn't have all the answers, everything like that. Why not just sit him for the week and you say, you know, he's got to learn the playbook more, he's got to be here more, and you kind of, it's best of both worlds.
What's the problem? They make it sound like he's going to play the whole game.
I don't understand why you're okay with somebody essentially losing the opportunity to do their job
right.
based on an allegation. Which,
but he's going to get paid, Greg. I mean, it's not like
about
he's losing
being
his
one
job.
Week. I think it's just it's one week.
It sets precedent for the next situation that comes out when you look at there potentially being a false report out there. So now we're supposed to sit everybody for any allegation that somebody brings up against them?
Yeah. I think we also need to set a precedent where people are held accountable for false accusations. I think we need to set a very bold precedent when it comes to that because I don't think enough people are held accountable.
Yeah. Well, she should do jail time.
If you look at the Duke lacrosse case,
yep.
that woman should have done the same amount of jail time
right.
that those guys could have done. I mean, those guys, their lives were ruined.
Yeah.
I bring up the story of Sean Oakman. And if you don't know this story, Google it and watch his documentary.
Wiggy just pulled an LB and he said Google it.
He was the Baylor defensive lineman. There was a picture of him going across the internet where he's this giant, you know, player. And they show him like with his shirt up and he's got abs. He was going to be a first round draft pick. And then this girl basically said that he raped her and did all this. 3 years of his life was flushed down the toilet. And then to come to find out, it was all a lie. And he obviously didn't get drafted.
Did she do any jail time?
Not a day of jail time.
Really?
No.
Ruined his life. This is Jenna from Worcester. What's up, Jenna?
Hi. I long-time listener.
Thank you.
Not from Wayne, it drives me crazy.
Yes. Yeah.
And I've called a few times this week and hung up every time because I just didn't know if I could get through this. But what I want to say, especially thank you to Scott for saying what he said to give me the chutzpah to say this today, is 1 in 5 women in their lifetime will be raped. 8 of 10 will know the person who did it. And when you know the person who did it, it's very hard to go to the police station right after. Scott.
I think that's a really important, and obviously, Jenna, I'm sorry that you're upset because it's a horrible thing. And the fact that it's tough to go to the police, I think, is only a victim can understand that. I think mm-hmm. we probably can't understand that.
Right.
But I want to ask you, wouldn't it then be hard to also file a lawsuit?
Well, unfortunately, speaking from somewhat of experience, it took me about 3 years before I could even put into context what had actually happened.
Mm-hmm.
And there was more collateral damage that left me from being able to file a lawsuit and put myself back through it. But I'm angry today. I wasn't angry for the first 3 years. I was kind of in a fog. I wish that I could go back and do it, but maybe the cycle of this happening to so many women and all of these years later is now starting to open the doors for people to say it might be hard to file this lawsuit, but it might be harder to live with this anger or to say nothing for a, who knows how long that this will be something they have to carry on their heart.
Yeah. I think one of the difficult things that people deal with also mm-hmm. in general and in term, and I say people because sexual assault and rape happens to both men and women, is that especially when you know the person that did that to you, you deal with a lot of questions, not only to yourself, but from other people. Like in your mind, it's almost difficult to process and be like, okay, I was just raped. You think, well, maybe I'm just looking at it wrong. Maybe I gave a wrong signal.
So you,
what did you, you do?
As a woman, you blame yourself.
Yeah. Because I think that's part of the process of, you know, it's like they have the stages of grief. I think it's their stages of acceptance in, mm-hmm. in dealing with a sexual assault and wondering, well, did I do something to invite it? And then people will let, you know, if you confide in somebody, what happened, especially if you know the person, they're like, well, you know them. Like, you sure he just didn't have the wrong idea? You didn't give off the wrong vibe? You know, it goes back to the old, you should have right. been wearing that short skirt argument.
No, I understand that point. And you can only, like you said, if you haven't been in that situation, it's hard to really comprehend what they potentially could be going through. But there's also the other side of it. When somebody is falsely accused, mm-hmm. you know, a good friend of mine had to serve jail time because he was accused of raping a girl when wow. I was in high school. And it wasn't true, but he had, so that part of it kind of ruined his life, right? So there's that other side of it too, that where that's why I think the biggest thing is we have to sit there and go, okay, what information do we have? Now we have this information. Now let's see what, you know, because all we're trying to do is decipher from the information that we got and come up with our opinion on what we think potentially right. could have happened. So, but I feel,
but
like
that's why I think that there should not be a rush to judgment. It's right. important. I don't like Antonio Brown. I don't like the guy.
Yeah, he's a jerk.
He's a jerk. That being said, I don't think it's fair to punish him by sitting him down on Sunday without knowing what happened. He has not been there. There's no police
right.
charge. There's a lawsuit.
Is it fair of Antonio Brown to ruin the Oakland Raiders offseason? Was it fair of him to fight his way out of town? This is professional football. It's not about being fair. It's about PR and knowing what
but
you're
it's,
doing.
So then it's okay, based on what you're saying, then it's okay because he, in a work situation with the Raiders,
mm-hmm.
Because he acted like a jerk there, it's okay to escalate it and take it to the next right. level and then say...
There's no such thing as fairness in the NFL. It's about what... It's a blood sport, and it's a sport where there is a huge amount... There's billions of dollars at stake, and if Bob Kraft feels that he needs to have more information before he puts that guy in the field, the cost-benefit analysis would show him to sit him until he has every fact, and Brittany Taylor
yeah, but doesn't
meets
that,
with the investigators next week.
But when you sit a guy for that, and it almost makes it seem like, all right, there's some guilt there that you're sitting him, you're not allowing him the ability to go out there and work, right? So there's some like, maybe he could be guilty, so let's sit him. Why not just get all the information and quit trying to like link it to Oakland? If Oakland wanted to sit him and basically just put him on that list there where they could just say send him home and pay him to go away, they could have easily did that.
Oakland, the alleged allegations.
Yeah, what Oakland did is Oakland said, you know what we're going to do? We're going to say, we don't want to deal with this clown. He might be a jackass. He's an idiot. We're just going to cut him. So when he gets cut, that means another team has the right to pick him up, and he has the ability to go work.
Nobody's disputing that the Patriots had the right to pick him up. Who's disputing that?
Well, he has the right to work.
Right. And which means alleged playing with a serious game. Crime.
Hello. And which means playing a game.
Hello, Jerry.
Yeah.
Hey, what's up, Jerry?
Hey.
What's going on?
Am I on the show?
Yeah.
Oh.
Welcome.
Who am I talking to? I'm sorry. Sorry. Listen.
I would say you're talking to all of us, but the way things go around here, you're going to be talking to Wiggy. Go ahead.
Yeah, no, that's fine. Which is fine because I think me and Wiggy are probably on the same page. I'm driving to work. I've only been listening to you for about 5 minutes, but I heard somebody say, why doesn't he sit out this week and let things play out? And my question to you would be, why would he do that? Why would a man being accused of something by somebody who claims something happened three times over the course of years, who kept going back to that guy over and over again
And it's just now coming out when he finally joins the Patriots organization. In fact, the day after he signed, why would that guy sit and let this play out? Why would he do that?
Well, it would be the organization's choice, Jerry, to sit and get the information. Let's say the other player, this anonymous player who was in the room with them at the time of the alleged rape, comes forward and says, oh, yeah, something happened that night, or who knows what could come out from her conversation. Don't the Patriots look horrible to have played him?
No, because they don't have the information.
They don't have the information.
But they know it's coming next week.
They know.
They don't. That's my point. They don't know what's coming. They have no idea what's coming. And what they do know, what they know beyond the shadow of a doubt, is that the woman who's making these claims claims something happened, and then she left. She had the entire earth to navigate away from that guy. She went back to him, claimed something happened again, and then she left. And then she had the entire earth once again to stay away from that guy, and then she went back to him a third time. That's what they know beyond the shadow of a doubt. And typically, and specifically when you guys talked about the Duke lacrosse case, that's typically what happens when it's all about money. So I would be leaning towards that and saying, you know what, let's let the guy play the game, and if it comes out that he is guilty of this, then we just depart, you know, we part ways and he's off the team.
Right.
But you don't know anything other than what I just said. You cannot sit a guy. Nor should he sit. It's insane that you guys even bring that up. It's insane to me.
I mean, you just listen to this caller from Worcester who was in tears, and your response to that is, well, we know that she did X and Y and Z, and it's unbelievable.
But that's a different situation. I don't think, you know, she went through something that was very traumatic in her life, right?
Well, and this girl didn't?
We don't know what this girl
went
through.
That's the point. Well, let's get her story. She's going to talk next week.
Okay, so
it's the freaking Miami Dolphins. You're a 20-point favorite. How arrogant and greedy do you need to be to play the guy Sunday?
It's not about arrogance. What you're doing is you are now opening up the door for now people to come out and accuse people of anything. And if we go your route, then we have to sit everybody who's accused of something.
Right. We do not. It's an individual basis.
It's not
an individual basis.
Right, maybe you're going to play the Kansas City Chiefs and you want to say something about the quarterback the week before.
You want to say something about Patrick Mahomes. And,
So find somebody who knew Antonio Brown for her whole life and had a detailed relationship.
But maybe there's something that comes out down the road. All I'm saying is when you go down this road, if you went down the road of sitting a player and until we know, right, it's innocent till proven guilty.
Yes.
If you now sit a player and not allow him to work and go out there and make a living.
He's making a living. He's being paid.
No, but he's not playing. Now you open up the door, like I said, for the next person to come out with some type of false accusation, and now we have to sit them until we know everything.
Well, that's why Belichick's playing him. He's a big labor laws guy. He wants to pave the way for future players to work. That's what he's all about. That's why he wants to play him.
And you're already saying this is a false allegation? Is that what you're saying, Jermaine?
No, I'm saying that
ooh,
it could be.
Jermaine.
It could be.
He's serious when he says Jermaine.
Well, you said another false allegation. What was the other false allegation?
The report. There's three incidents, right?
Right. You said if another player allegation,
yes, if another
you're saying
player,
that this is a false allegation.
If another player comes up and it's a false accusation, or maybe when you look at it in the beginning, right, if you just throw an accusation out there, now we're just sitting players. But when you start to look at this, I mean, I'm going to be honest. It doesn't look good in the sense of, for her, it does look like Antonio Brown's agent said, Drew Rosenhaus, it does look like it's about a money grab.
Wait, you got your parking pass for the next home game. You're good to go.
This is Dave. Hello. Hey, Dave.
Yes.
What's up, Dave?
Hey, how's it going? I just wanted to follow up a little bit about what Wiggy was saying, and he's 100% right. I was a detective. I did 28 years as a cop, and I did a lot of sexual assault investigations, and the one thing you have to do when you're doing these, you have to take your time and do a thorough investigation. And there's been quite a few. I'm not going to say the majority, but you know, probably close to 50% of the cases are false complaints. And for instance, I had a case in Groton where a Navy officer was accused by a stripper of sexual assault. Now, her motivations was he wanted to break the family up. His family. He had a family. He was away from school and met this girl, and he wasn't going to leave his wife and kids, and she wanted him to stay. And so there's a lot of different factors that can come into play, but you can't rush to judgment. And this thing, you know, for her to wait, there's no criminal charges. You know, it's to me, I look at that and I say it's a money grab. Somebody wants some money, and that's my opinion.
Yeah, I mean, there's a guy sitting on the Supreme Court of the United States of America who almost wasn't sitting there because of an allegation.
mm-hmm.
with not a lot of evidence to back it up. I'm right. sorry to right. say that.
No. Some pretty bad comments in his yearbook.
I don't want to trigger everybody.
Right. And what's the bait? Go ahead.
Yeah, but I mean that's. This is not the Supreme Court. I get it. It's the NFL. It's the Patriots. It's Miami. I get it. But it's still important that when somebody is accused of something, they have an opportunity to defend themselves.
Right. And what's amazing to me is now this new Curtis that we have. The old Curtis would have been out there with his pitchfork at the front of the line, basically saying, wait a second here. How can we, you know, sit a guy? We don't have information.
Is that true, Curtis?
We're banning people because of something DeMarcus Cousins might have accidentally heard.
So if we really want to go back and relitigate this Adam Jones situation, we can do that.
The point of the Adam Jones argument
that you're bringing up, Wiggy, that I said was that he was proclaiming that the entire city of Boston was being painted as racist. And I was saying if we are going to paint with that broad of a brush, we need more than just one man's word.
Well,
for
you
what
did the same thing with DeMarcus Cousins, right? It was about.
I never talked about. I hated NBA talk. No, I never talked about DeMarcus.
Curtis, you did.
Same here.
Good.
Can I throw baseball in there also?
Yes. Oh God, yeah.
But Greg,
he's right there.
The point was Curtis has always been on. Let's gather the information before we make these rash.
Decisions on suspending guys
or banning people from going to the games. Now all of a sudden it's like, sit this guy.
And Wiggy's a pathetic Patriots honk who just falls in line with the rest of the city. Good job, bud.
If Antonio Brown played for the Kansas City Chiefs, I would be saying the same thing.
That is the biggest lie I've heard all day.
Because I said it about Reuben Foster when they sent him home. I said that was wrong. They don't have enough information when he played for the San Francisco 49ers when it kind of all took place. So my opinion would be the same if Antonio Brown was on another team.
All right, I'm going to lighten the mood for a moment and stop these two from bickering like school children.
Hey.
And give away a pair of tickets to join us at Fenway next Thursday. If you are the ninth caller right now at 617-931-0937, you win tickets to join us. Now, you got to take the day off, clearly. Because we're doing the show at Fenway next Thursday. So don't bother calling if you can't bang out of work for the morning and for the afternoon for the Sox game. So you join us at Fenway. We'll hook you up with breakfast. Jim Cook, the man who basically invented craft beer, is going to join us there at Fenway on Thursday morning during the show. We'll be joined by a Red Sox player or two, so you can meet them. We'll get you some stuff signed, all that stuff. And then you're going to go to the game at 1 o'clock, and one of the winners, one of you, will be upgraded to the dugout seats at Fenway. So call 617-931-0937 to win a pair of tickets to join us for our broadcast at Fenway on Thursday.
The only station in Boston where you'll hear exclusive interviews with Tom Brady and Bill Belichick. Now here's what's trending on WEEI.
Trending now, brought to you by 495 Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram. The Ram Power Days, get huge savings on a new 2019 Ram 1500. Stop in at 495 Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram today. Interesting report from Charles Robinson in Yahoo. I don't know if you saw that passage, Greg, where he has sources saying New England has language in the Antonio Brown contract that could void all $9 million of the guarantees for any conduct undermining the public image of the club between now and the end of 2019. So,
yes,
pretty strong language protecting the Patriots.
But don't you think that makes sense?
Oh, totally.
And also, don't you think that points to the fact that AB came here maybe with a different attitude? Like, if he was willing to accept that language,
right?
Maybe he came here because he really wanted to win, and he really wanted to play for the New England Patriots.
Well, and I think that when you look at kind of who he's been since he's been here, I know it's only been a couple of days, it seems like he's kind of buying into that. You know,
he blocked Daniel Trotta. How's that for the image of the club? Taylor wearing, Brown wearing jersey number 17, the number his father Touchdown Eddie Brown wore during his Arena League run. You ever play with Touchdown Eddie Brown, Wiggy, or was that...
No, your time.
He played until 03, Arena League ball. You played for an arena team, right?
No, I never played Arena League football. So
full attendance for the Patriots, shorts and shells yesterday. Injury report the same. Marcus Cannon, Matt Lacoste, Brandon Bolden. Limited Patriots, Dolphins, 1 o'clock on Sunday. Wiggy is there with Keefe and Fourier beginning at 9 a.m., then the real postgame show afterwards.
The Jets will lose Sam Darnold for several weeks with mononucleosis. Trevor Siemian is their guy, and the Patriots play the Jets week 3. Thursday Night Football last night, Tampa beat the Carolina Panthers 20-14. Cam Newton with 15 off-target throws and a very interesting wardrobe selection after the game. He looked like an old grandma, old Bubba.
Up there with I saw that. But you know what? It was raining last night, so... Yeah.
Well, that's true.
You know, it was kind of like a sports shawl for the head. You know,
is that what that was?
I've been accused. I've been berated for wearing a sports shawl.
You can't wear one of those.
Huh?
You can't wear what he was wearing. That's just for the old ladies.
Well, you don't like it?
Mm. Yeah, not that. No, I know Cam was. I know he tries, but yeah, he was reaching on that one.
And Gronk told CBS News he has suffered 20 concussions in his life. Didn't say with the Patriots. But over his career, which could go back to high school, but 5 of them blackout ones. Unreal. You asked Julian Edelman about that earlier in the show.
Yeah. And you know what? When we come back, we should play the audio of Edelman talking about Antonio Brown, because I think that was really the only good takeaway from that from that interview. Julian was a little tired.
Yeah,
this
he was tired, and his
it
phone
was 6
was in,
o'clock.
It was in a bad place.
But I thought what he said about AB was interesting as far as he was aggressively defending him as a player.
Right.
So we should do that when we come back.
Let's do it. It's the Greg Hill Show.
We're back with the Greg Hill Show on Boston Sports Station, WEEI.
A lot of baggage that comes with the addition to adding him to this roster. How does Bill Belichick let you guys know, hey, focus on the task at hand, which is the games and going out there and doing your job?
Coach is going to do what's best for the team and what he feels is best for the team. And adding Antonio, that he feels that's best for our team. And I mean, quite frankly, he's a really good football player. He works his tail off. You know, he practiced this week. And I think with a player like him and a player of his caliber, he's going to raise the bar. He's going to raise the intensity of practice because he's so good. For other guys to go out there and see, you know what I mean? That's coach's job, and he's a really good football player, and I look forward to playing with him.
Julian Edelman on this show earlier this morning, and it doesn't sound like Edelman or any of the other guys that we've heard from are upset that Antonio Brown might be on the field on Sunday.
No, I mean, they know what type of player is, but I'm wondering how much of, you know, maybe Julian Edelman maybe might feel like a little bit of remorse for Antonio Brown because of a situation that he went through.
So sympathy.
Yeah, like so a little, you know, like a little sympathy there, like, you know, hey, let's get all the information before we start, you know, accusing this guy of being a rapist.
Yeah. He's
a really good football player, and I look forward to playing.
Yeah. This is Art from Walpole. Hey, Art, what's up?
Hi, guys. How are we doing today?
Good. How are you?
I'm doing great. Thank you. Obviously, this is a very difficult situation that the Patriots have got themselves into, but it's certainly a situation where, you know, that police officer who called, I think, hit it right on the button. I was involved in a situation years ago with my ex-wife who had me thrown in the hoosegow overnight for a total false accusation because, you know, when you start seeing someone else, they get jealous. Mm-hmm. It's certainly at least, guys, you have to admit, this sounds like this woman is certainly at least, at the very least, a jilted lover of some sort. You know, whether or not this stuff happened, none of us really, really know, but... It certainly sounds like it's going to be a gray case at the very, very least. And I think it's something that you have to let things fall into place. I think the Patriots, they're in a situation where they almost have to let him play on Sunday. I think that they should let him play and let the chips fall where they may going forward. I think you can't assume anything at this point as long as you have him under a signed contract. And I think, you know, he should be given the right to play on Sunday. That's my opinion.
I don't know what's the NFL going to discover that her lawyers haven't? I mean, what do we think? What do we think the NFL is going to uncover when they interview her late next week?
Right. Well, again, this player alone, this other player who may have witnessed
the
event.
Other player doesn't have to. It's not like he's being subpoenaed by the NFL. Well, he could just be like,
why is the other player not named in her lawsuit?
I don't know.
I mean, if there's another player there, when this incident, this is the third incident, I believe, the one that occurred where she went back the next day. If there's another NFL unnamed NFL player there, why Why don't they name the NFL player in the lawsuit? Yeah. And why doesn't that player come forward and say, I was there, and either something happened or it didn't happen?
But, Greg, what's the rush? Honestly, what's the rush? Why does he need to be on the field on Sunday? They're going to win the game easily. They beat the Steelers by 30, a far better team than the Dolphins without him.
Because there's still information
that's going to be coming out.
Because I am bothered by the fact that an allegation can be made against somebody and their life can be ruined before they are even determined to be guilty. And I don't like the guy. I made that clear, I think, a week ago. And I get it. I flip-flopped a little bit. I said I didn't want him here, and then he got here, and I went Patriot honkish.
Wiggy rubbed off on you.
It's a bad precedent. That's why you wouldn't do it. It sets a bad precedent for the NFL if they just say, or the Patriots, if they say, well, we don't have all the information. As of right now, this is all we have, and you know, we're waiting for the NFL to do its investigation. Until then, he has the right to play and he has the right to be out there. And we know how Bill Belichick operates. If you can help this team, you're going to be on the football field.
Yeah, this is Steve in the car this morning. Steve, what's going on?
Hey, good morning, guys.
What's up?
You know, I find there's a guilt by association thing that a lot of people have a hang up on. Wiggy just admitted he's friends with a convicted rapist or sexual assault person, but that doesn't mean Wiggy's a bad guy. So if Antonio Brown, either way, it's not the Patriot domain for one guy's crazy problem.
You're saying if the Patriots play him Sunday and then the NFL or the federal court determines that this happened, There's no bad look on the Patriots for that.
It could be a bad look, but it's a character flaw to think all of Boston's a racist because one guy in Fenway Park yelled the N-word. It's ridiculous.
And I don't think it's a bad look for the Patriots. If stuff comes out and then they cut them and they wash their hands of them, I don't think it's a bad look on them. The bad look would be if something came out and then they continued to keep playing him and kept him around, and there was information that came out that might, you know, look and be like, oh, this guy could have did that. That would be a bad look.
Here's a text that says, if this happened in a regular workplace, the individual would be fired immediately. Do you agree with that?
I don't know that they'd be fired immediately, but I've made this point a couple times in the past few days in that, you know, a private company would possibly, you know, suspend with pay an employee pending the outcome of the investigation.
I would say who's the employee, right? If the employee is somebody, no, seriously.
Is a really valuable
person to the company or makes a ton of money, you know.
Yeah.
If the person for the company's the, you know, the CFO, they might be like, whoa.
Well, hold on a second. We're going to conduct a
poll. Yeah, Mutt,
you know. Right. Mutt here.
Yeah. This is King. Hey, King.
Yes, what's going on?
What's up?
Yeah, I just wanted to talk about somebody made a point about the young woman from Worcester and what she went through in comparison to this other woman who's accusing AB.
Yes.
Now, listen, I agree AB is acting like a very much like a dupe. But getting to the point, the woman from Worcester, I can almost guarantee after she had her incident, that unfortunate situation,
yes,
she did not go back to that person that she had the incident with. Where this woman went back three separate times. Now, none of us were there and no one knows what happened, so we have to let it play out through the investigation. But it's kind of unfair to compare the two stories.
I think, though, that especially as men, we have to understand that we can't relate to that, and oftentimes
unless you were in that situation, right?
Yes, if you're a man in that.
Right.
But oftentimes they do end up going back, especially if it's an existing relationship.
There's a very big psychological component to it that people aren't able to wrap their head around if they haven't been in a relationship with, say, like a narcissist or a sociopath or someone with a borderline personality disorder issue. It's a very real thing. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of mental manipulation that happens. A lot of time people are scared. you know, because they're like, well, fine. And it may not be what they want to do. And you may look at it with an outside lens and be like, what are you, friggin' crazy?
I feel like Wiggy might be a narcissist. Well, I mean, he spends a lot of time talking about his own personal experiences.
This room has a lot going on.
And he ghosts me after the program.
Did I?
No, but then he throws you crumbs. He gaslights
you. We hung out at the Summerfest.
We hung out at the Summerfest.
The thing I would think is like when you look at this situation, right? His point was, oh man, I already drew a blank.
Well, hold on, let me talk to Melinda. You can think
save
about
that for later.
Yeah,
this is Melinda. Yes, Melinda.
Hi.
Hey, what's up?
Yeah. So I don't know if the woman is telling the truth or not, but what I'm going to say is, in this country, the second someone says that someone did something, you are automatically guilty by everybody.
Yeah.
What if it turns out that he didn't do anything?
Yeah, right.
I mean, isn't he going to be considered to be guilty of this regardless of what the outcome is?
I hope not.
Well, don't you think it's always going to
it's always going to come up with his name.
Melinda,
right?
let me ask you about Justice Kavanaugh, Brett Kavanaugh.
Do you
look at him now as somebody who did something or didn't do something?
I'm not quite sure. I look at him as somebody who may have not always done the right things when he was in high school, but you know what? Neither did I.
Uh-huh.
And uh-huh. just, I don't know if I think he raped her or not.
I think you
can't be judged on things you did in high school and when you're 50, 60 years old.
Yes.
Well, Ben Roethlisberger would be the perfect example.
That's a better example.
Right. So Ben Roethlisberger was never found guilty of anything.
He's called Rapelessberger.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And that's kind of what it is. Kobe Bryant.
What about Kobe Bryant?
Right. That's what those are some of the first things. The thing I was going to say is when the guy called the compare on the woman, the thing that really stood out to me for the woman in Worcester who called, you could hear the emotion, right? Just talking about what she went through and her experience, the 3 years after the fact and how she was dealing with it. And when you start to, and like I said, the biggest thing for me is when you go back by yourself to a situation where something so traumatic has just happened to you, isn't there a little bit of you're seeing yourself, well, wait a second, this guy just, you know, put you in a situation and now you're going back there alone. You're not afraid. And so that was the one thing that, like, with this case that stands out to me more than anything.
Yeah.
Is, you know,
My issue with sitting him on Sunday is that if you're the Patriots, you're judging him to be guilty based on an allegation. And when you react like that, I think you create the opportunity for situations like the Jesse Smollett situation where everybody believed him right off the bat. Everybody immediately took him at his word because people are afraid. But people are afraid not to take somebody at their word when they say something like that because everybody's going to brandish you. You don't care.
You're a racist or whatever.
Yes, right.
I was like,
and so that's
you. But it's simple.
Wiggy still thinks OJ's innocent.
That's a different story. But when you look at the information that you have, right, about the Jesse Smollett case, right?
Yeah.
What information did we know right off the jump, right? We're kind of like, wait a second, things don't add up. When we look at this information that we have with Antonio Brown and Brittany Taylor.
You say the same thing.
Yeah,
things don't add up. Yeah.
You know, prove to me that, that the information that doesn't add up will add up at the end of the day.
Coming up on Monday, Boomer Esiason will join us at 7. Tom Brady will be on the show at some point Monday morning. On Tuesday, Rob Ninkovich will be in the studio with us. And when we come back, I promise we will talk about something other than Antonio Brown.
What?
We will get...
No.
Yes.
No, there's only an hour left in the show. Yes. Might as well just finish it out.
We will get to the news next.
Back to the Greg Hill Show on WEEI.
It's time for...
Good morning.
The News.
Good news out of Orlando, Florida. Dale Earnhardt died.
With your host...
I've just been handed an urgent and horrifying news story.
Danielle Murr.
Because I am good at three things. Fighting, screwing, and reading the news.
Brought to you by the Northeast Men's Clinic.
There's more good news today.
On Sports Radio WEEI.
At the Northeast Men's Clinic, they specialize in the sexual health of men. Learn more at northeastmensclinic.com or call 617-793-5000.
Well, a bunch of Democrats gathered for last night's debate in Houston, Texas. Some pivotal issues were discussed, including health care, gun legislation, climate change, education, and criminal justice. Of course, many eyes focused on former Vice President Joe Biden and our senior senator here, Elizabeth Warren,
She would be the senior senator.
Okay.
Yes.
So they were facing off for the first time, but it was kind of not a ton went on between them that was very exciting. One takeaway, though, was candidate Beto O'Rourke, who wants to take AR-15s and AR-47s away from Americans.
If it's a weapon that was designed to kill people on a battlefield, if the high impact, high velocity round, when it hits your body, shreds everything inside of your body because it was designed to do that so that you would bleed to death on a battlefield and not be able to get up and kill one of our soldiers. When we see that being used against children, and in Odessa, I met the mother of a 15-year-old girl who was shot by an AR-15, mm-hmm. and that mother watched her bleed to death over the course of an hour because so many other people were shot by that AR-15 in Odessa and Midland. There weren't enough ambulances to get to them in time. Hell yes, we're going to take your AR-15, your AK-47.
Oh, it's going to take everybody's weapons.
It's going to take them away.
Oh. Yeah, a big round of applause there.
Yep.
When he suggested that.
That's a signal of a Democratic debate. Elizabeth Warren spoke up about fair and achievable citizenship desires.
I want to see us expand legal immigration and create a pathway to citizenship for our dreamers, but also for their grandparents and for their cousins, for people who overstayed student visas, and for people who came here to work in the fields. I want to have a system that is a path to citizenship that is fair and achievable.
A big controversy around a claim that was made about Elizabeth Warren and her genealogy. There are some that are claiming that rather than have Native American ancestors, she actually has ancestors who are a part of the Tennessee militia that rounded up the Cherokees for the Trail of Tears. I mean, that would...
Unbelievable.
That would be...
I thought you were going to say she was part Wiggy.
I was waiting for she...
Wiggy's part Italian.
Well, I was waiting for she was, you know, she had ancestors that were black and, you know, there was something...
It's Pocahontas, Elizabeth Warren.
Imagine the horror for Elizabeth Warren if her relatives were actually the ones who were out rounding up Native Americans.
What about her Native American uncles she talked about?
That would just be horrible.
Even more surprising, Curtis cheered both of those cuts back here. I don't know what's gotten into him. I thought he was a Trump guy.
Beto 2020, let's do it.
What else is going on today, Danielle?
You know, there is a story in the news about our transportation secretary here in Massachusetts, Stephanie Pollack. She made some comments recently about the use of the HOV lane here in Massachusetts. This happened on Tuesday this week. She told some officials that 80 to 90% of the cars using the HOV lane on 93 heading into Boston from the north have only one person in the vehicle.
Really?
And as you know, they're supposed to have two or more. You can't have a dummy or anything like that.
80%.
Well, there's no cop on 93 like there is on, what is that?
The expressway.
The expressway going south. There's a cop who kind of sits there and looks for people.
At the cutout.
Yeah.
But on 93, yeah, the HOV lane is just there traveling it.
And 80% of the people are scamming. I guess that's not really.
Well, there's more cheaters in New England.
But she makes it sound, have you ever driven in the HOV lane? No. It's just as much traffic in the other.
It's even worse sometimes. Yeah, yeah. It actually moves more slowly there.
Yeah.
There's a Seattle lawmaker who is being criticized for a plan to deal with homeless individuals. Now, this is something we actually saw in Hawaii a few years ago when they offered to buy them a one-way ticket out of Hawaii to anywhere in the continental U.S. And then this city council chairperson, Reagan Dunn, has suggested that any homeless person can get a one-way bus ticket out of Seattle so that they can cut the homeless population.
Can you go anywhere? You can go anywhere you want.
Go anywhere you want.
Well, I mean,
yeah, we'd rather you make somebody else's state deal with all the homeless
people.
Exactly.
But you'd certainly want to get out of the weather, the rainy weather of Seattle.
I would think so.
California would be a good place.
Yeah, Florida. Arizona.
Yeah, those would be some nice places for homeless people if you're going to go anywhere.
I mean, you wouldn't come here, would you?
No,
with the winter
too cold.
And
Ocean Park, Maine seems like a nice destination.
Yeah.
Well, I'd say maybe like, you know, San Jose, San Diego, somewhere on a beach.
Greg has room.
I had that guy living in the house, the vagrant.
Yeah, the vagrant.
That broke into my home.
While your daughter was there.
Scary. In Maine.
For how long?
Lord knows.
We don't know.
Like, the guy was like living
there. Squatter.
All winter long.
He now owns half the property and half the SS Echo store.
Imagine if you had a pistol.
Greg has a very small one. It's a .38 caliber. There's some loud sex at a Days Inn in Baltimore, Maryland that was mistaken for a fight and wound up leading to gunfire. I love these stories. So these two women were in a hotel room. One of them was named Allison Daughtry. The other woman's name was not released. And the two of them were getting it on. And a security guard went to check it out because he thought there was a fight happening in the hotel room.
No.
So the two of them started arguing with the security guard. He eventually kicked them out of the hotel. They took the argument to the lobby where the women kept going at it with the guard and the front desk staff, the argument, not the sexual activities. And then Allison eventually pulled out a gun and pointed it at the security guard. He tried to wrestle it away from her, and it went off. Luckily, a bullet only hit a door frame, but Novel Savage is a witness.
We heard a lot of commotion outside. And so I opened the door to find out what was going on. I asked them to be a little quiet, and I saw security, I saw a police officer, and I saw a lady arguing.
There's probably a lot of loud sex going on at a Days Inn or a Red Roof Inn.
If you're like a security dude and you walk up and you hear two women having sex, you might want to just kind of maybe see if you can continue to listen or maybe catch a peek.
It's never the people that you want.
From the other side of the door, you know,
imagination.
It's two women. That's all you can, you know. It's two women.
Wiggy thinks it's Emily Ratajkowski and her hot model friend.
Right.
They're having sex at the Days Inn.
You are behind the door, so it could be whoever you want. You just know it's two.
Oh, yeah, give it to me. Oh, that's right, Sheila, right there.
Open the door, it's Orway.
Oh, yeah.
There's some people who actually want to do their job, Wiggy. They're not obsessed with that kind of thing.
Well, I mean, I understand.
Well, the school year is in full swing now, so of course we have one of these stories.
Jesus, haven't they taught you these things in school?
What things?
The Greg Hill Morning Show presents...
We were meant to be, I know it. How else could sex be that incredible?
Pervert Teachers Association.
That is appalling. You ought to be ashamed of yourselves.
Who we got today, Danielle?
This is Elise Castillo. She's 45 years old, and she was arrested after allegedly having a sexual relationship with a 14-year-old student. She's a substitute teacher, by the way.
Oh,
and
Jesus. Now even the substitutes are getting in.
Even the substitutes are getting in on it. The kicker here is that she didn't tell the kid she had herpes.
Wiggy, what are you laughing about? That's the gift. Yes, that is the gift that keeps on giving.
That is for life.
Oh, my gosh.
She reportedly had sex with the boy at her home from June of last year up until last month.
Oh.
Police found out about the alleged abuse after she got into a fiery argument with her own children, who are right around the same age as the boy, 13 and 14 years old. Her kids had reportedly heard a rumor in school. Confronted mom about it, said they were disgusted, and then finally this whole thing unraveled, and then she had to make the revelation.
I don't get it.
Do you think we should go with only same-sex classrooms where the guys teach the guys and the girls teach the girls?
Yeah, like, there are predators there,
right,
too.
I mean, have you not heard of Jerry Sandusky?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah, seriously.
I don't know, how are we going to stop it? Maybe everybody could just be homeschooled, or they could Skype it or something like that.
It's just weird. Like, it's weird that you're an adult going after, like, a kid.
But was it going on when you were...
in school?
When you were in high school?
Not that I remember, and I looked at half the teachers, I was like, oh, God, she's...
Like, no interest.
Maybe it might be you have to get ugly teachers, because some of these teachers that you see...
There you go. Wiggy's got a solution.
Ugly teachers.
Have you seen some of these people in the news? They are ugly.
Well, some of the teachers, they look like they're, you know, they're good-looking. looking, you know, women of some of them I've seen.
I think they're 22.
Well, that's the thing is the teachers are younger.
Go back to old women teachers.
Yes. Exactly.
Yes.
That's what you got to go back to.
I don't know that we could specifically say just hire ugly teachers. I think that would be
some kind of EOE violation.
So it's not a bad thing. Yeah. You know, it's like, you know, you're trying to prevent, you know, a crime from happening. So
it'd be okay to do that.
Yeah.
Okay.
Felicity Huffman landed in Boston yesterday with her husband, William H. Macy. She's going to be in court today for sentencing on the charges in connection with the college bribery scam.
Do you think that she will do jail time?
She shouldn't. Why?
She shouldn't?
No.
I don't know just because she pleaded guilty, right? So
She worked out a deal. She worked out a deal. She admitted wrongdoing.
Yeah, so I think she'd be unlike
Lori Loughlin, mm-hmm. who did, you know, is fighting it to the bitter end. She's now blaming that on her husband.
Yeah.
Saying that her husband made her fight it. She's going to like divorce her husband
or something. Her friends want her to leave him.
Yeah. But you don't think that Felicity Huffman should
I didn't think it was a big deal when it all happened. I'm like, listen, if you got money and, I mean, can't you just donate to the school? But if you got a way to maybe get your kid into a school because you got extra money, so be it. To commit fraud
by paying off the SAT proctor?
Well, that was a little strange when you had somebody taking the SATs. But if you wanted to, like Dr. Dre did it, I think he donated a bunch of money to USC for, you know.
Right. My dad did that at BC. That's how I got in.
Right. So if you're fortunate enough to come from a household where your parents could donate money to school and they really want you to go there and this is going to help you get in, so be it.
Curtis, let me help you out here. Do you want anybody to be held accountable for their crimes against society? I mean, you're just letting everybody go, Wiggy. I mean, the teachers, not the teachers.
Okay.
Teachers
should go to jail.
But don't you think she should spend at least a couple days in jail after this? If for no other reason that other parents across the country will see this and see that there's actual legitimate punishment for gaming the system.
Two days in jail is legitimate punishment, too?
Right, exactly. I mean,
yes. Would you want to spend 2 days in jail?
No, I haven't. Right. I don't want to, but I don't think that's in and out.
That's not going
to
stop
nobody.
Well,
the max, I think, is a month that she would do. It's not like she's going
to
be doing
it. But that's not going to stop anybody that wants to do it down the road. And they're going to be like, oh, worst case scenario, I get a month in jail. Okay, I could deal with that. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's not like you're giving her 10 years or something like that. And then to have her do.
What about a month at that day's in we were just talking about?
You never know. If she stays on the outside of the door, who knows what she might do.
I don't know. I mean, I feel like there were actual, like, hardworking students who were denied a spot because these filthy rich parents wanted to buy their kids' way. I don't even think they wanted to buy their kids' way into school for the benefit of the kids. I feel like they wanted to do it so they could go to like some kind of a Hollywood party and gloat about how their kid was at USC or something.
But if you
at an Ivy.
But if you have the type of money and you can do that, I mean, so be it. You know what I mean? There are people that live in this world that, like you, I think it was Curtis maybe said it, hey, there's things that are not fair. If you got money and you can maybe, you know, give that school and add a wing, or Curtis's dad has a library named after him, get my kid into school, because normally Curtis wouldn't be going there. I mean, he's just not that smart. So, and he's not an athlete.
I mean, alleged allegations with you. Let's
what do you mean he was an athlete at Rivers?
Oh, yeah.
Football, maybe.
Yeah, well, I mean, you got to have enough kids to form a team.
That's actually true.
Wait, did you play both ways?
I did.
Oh, of course you did.
On the field and off.
Oreo has a new, I hate to get into a food news, but we really haven't done any today.
Oh, no, don't get into any food news.
Yeah, people are going to be upset. Yeah. Oreo announced back in June that they were going to run another mystery flavor promotion. So the new flavor is going to hit stores on Monday. And if you remember, they did this a few years ago, and pretty much everybody figured out pretty quickly that the flavor was Fruity Pebbles and it was nasty. Now, when it hits stores Monday, if you're able to correctly guess the flavor of said mystery Oreo, you will be entered to win $50,000.
50 grand?
50K.
That's pretty good.
Not bad.
But it's, you know how hard it must be to guess, because now all these weird things. Just keep Oreo the way it is.
Seriously.
Two chocolate cookies on the outside and the white stuffing in the middle.
You don't like the flavored ones?
No, I don't like. Then I don't like the what are the other Oreos where now you don't have the chocolate cookie no more.
Yeah, it's like the carrot cake and the key lime.
The vanilla cookie. Yeah. No, keep it the way it is. If you want to double stuff it, you want to go a little extra white stuff in the middle, fine with me.
It's going down a dark path.
How do you feel about the fact that you can now bring your own bun to Popeyes?
That's the worst thing ever.
What? This is so stupid.
Yeah, I went by Popeyes in Everett to try to get one of these chicken sandwiches.
You told me you were going by to get one.
And I'm like, they had a sign on the door, and I'm like, maybe the sign's old.
Yeah.
Because, you know, the whole rage of this Popeyes chicken. But I'm like, how? You're a chicken spot, and you don't have you can't make chicken sandwiches?
Yeah. Well, now they figured out a way that you can do it because they're out of buns, so you can bring your own if you want to bring your own focaccia.
But
they will whatever kind of a bun you would like to bring.
But you're also not going to get like the mayo and the pickles and the flavor. They're basically just giving you like three chicken tenders to slap on your own bun.
What? They won't add the regular stuff?
No.
There's a special way that they got to make it that. I mean, it's like people are literally fighting over the sandwich.
Right.
I mean, it's like.
Yeah, there's been violence.
It's a crack epidemic all over again over Popeye's chicken sandwiches. And I want one.
Yeah. And you haven't been able to get one? Did you try dropping the name? I mean,
no, it doesn't matter. Yeah, don't matter what your name is.
Did you walk in there with your jersey on?
No, there's only two Popeyes in all of Massachusetts, one in Everett and the other one in Lynn.
Who is that guy who played with you who would wear his jersey around the mall, like the Attleboro Mall?
I never heard that one. Jersey?
Yes.
Did you ever wear
my own jersey?
Yeah, did you ever wear your own jersey?
One time.
You did?
Yes. And that was when we did the like 15-year anniversary and they brought us all out in that jersey.
Did it still fit?
No, it was the new jersey, so it was a lot bigger.
Okay.
The one at home would never fit.
All right. Danielle, thank you.
You're welcome.
We'll be right back.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.